Good morning. How are we all doing? Well, welcome to Fox River, and welcome to those of you watching online. My name is Pastor Rod, and I'm the student ministries and middle school pastor here at Fox River. And so let me speak just for a moment to those of you who are going into 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, as well as any parents of those ages. We've got some great changes coming up in just a few weeks. And so if you haven't heard about those, I encourage you right after service to just find me out in the lobby, and I'd love to just kind of share what's going on and some of those exciting things we have just for you. We also have next week, immediately after every service here in Waukesha, a meeting for parents of students in 6th through 12th grades. And so if you fit into that category, if you're a student or a parent in those ages, we encourage you just to stop by in the theater right after any of the services next week, and we'd love to see you there. Well, we are continuing in our My Verse series here at Fox River, and what that is just looking at verses that have significant meaning and impact in our lives. And so along with that, we're asking all of us to join in memorizing a verse each week. And so our memory verse for this week is John 3:16. And so why don't you read this with me? Let's do it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. How many of you already know John 3:16? You've got it committed to memory. All right, great job. Give yourselves a hand. You get a pass this week. If you don't know it already, this is a great first verse to learn. It's probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. And so I just encourage you throughout this week, if you pull out your Bible and just read through this three or four times a day, every day this week, by the end of this week, you'll have it down pat and you'll have it memorized. And one of the great things about memorizing verses is that you've got it with you. And when you're going through a tough time, God will bring it to your remembrance and you'll be able to remember, God loves me. He sent his son to die for me so that I could have everlasting life. And so that's the significance of my verses and life verses. And so I want to talk to you today about a verse that's had significance in my life. But before I get into my verse, I want to just share a little bit of context of why it's such an important verse for me. So first of all, let's just start with just a given. We all struggle in life, right? We've all dealt with pain, suffering, loss, frustration, all those things that we don't like to deal with, right? Just give me a wave if you've had to deal with something yucky in life. Yep. So what is the question that you ask when you're going through something you don't like? Why, right? God, why do I have to deal with this? Why are you making me go through this? Why me? Why? And so just like you, I've had to ask myself and ask God and struggle with that question throughout different times in my life. And one of those times was back in 1990. I had just graduated from high school. So the future's looking bright, got great plans for my future, summer's here, and I started a summer job. And so I'd worked at this summer job the year before, and I'd called my employer, and he said, yeah, we'd love to have you back. And so I was my second day into the summer job working for a small trucking company based in Chicago, but I was working in a mechanic shop just in the suburbs. And so I went into work, and I was the gopher, or the parts runner. And so I would do basically whatever the mechanics needed me to do. They'd send me running around chasing parts for them. And so I'd been running, chasing parts, and I came back into the shop that afternoon, and the mechanics had a piece of truck frame, this giant piece of steel, that they were beating on with a sledge and welding and twisting, trying to straighten it back out because one of the truck drivers had smashed it up. And so they asked me to stand on the end of this truck frame and face away from them because it was kind of moving around on them. And all 6 foot, 150 pounds of me was going to be the weight to kind of hold this down, right? And so I stood on the end of it, faced away, while they're beating away with a hammer and welding with the welder and twisting and trying to straighten this thing back out. And they just finished, and I turned back to see what's going on, and they actually hadn't finished because the mechanic took that sledge and took one more swing right into that truck frame. And as he did that, a little shard of metal busted off and went flying straight at me and came and flew right through my right eye. And I could literally see my vision cloud over as the blood was just starting to flow. And I closed my eyes, and I screamed out to get their attention. And one of the mechanics took me by the hand. He said, keep your eyes closed. And he walked me to the truck. We got in the truck, and he started frantically trying to find the medical center. And it was obvious he had no idea where it was at, because I remember stopping numerous times asking for directions and, hey, how do I get there? Where is it? And so we finally get to Alexian Brothers Medical Center, and they take me in. The doctor lays me down on the table, and he starts to pull out the pieces of contact that are shredded up in my eye. And then he puts a patch on it and basically says, we don't have the expertise to do anything more here, and so we're sending you to University of Illinois Medical Center in Chicago. And so they put me in an ambulance, and I take this 45-minute drive that felt like forever down into the city right during rush hour. And I finally get to UIC, and I'm sitting there waiting just to figure out what's going on, and felt like forever again because nobody's telling me anything, and here I am still in pain and nothing's happening. And ultimately, they determined that the best scenario for me is to put me in an ambulance again and drive me over to Rush St. Luke's Medical Center because they have an eye trauma center there. And so I get there, and immediately they determine it's time to go into surgery. And I remember my mom showing up about then, and as they're wheeling me down the hall on the gurney, she's yelling after him, wait, I want to pray for him before he goes into surgery. And so that was about the last thing I remember, and they put me out, and I went into surgery. I wake up the next day, and the doctors explained to me that the metal had pierced through my eye, had cut one of the main blood vessels supplying blood to my eye, and was now embedded somewhere in the back of my head. My eyeball literally just looked like this grotesque piece of raw meat from a horror movie. It was just gross for me even to look at. I couldn't stand it. There were stitches literally on my eyeball. And if you've ever had anything in your eye, just imagine feeling like that for most of my summer, as every time I blink, I feel these stitches moving on my eyeball. I couldn't see anything out of this eye, and they told me keep a patch on it because we want it to heal and don't want it to be moving around. And I remember laying there in the hospital bed, and during the day, family and friends would come, and I would put on a smiley face. They'd ask me how I was doing. Oh, I'm doing fine. Doctors are keeping an eye on it. I'm sure everything's going to be okay. And then at night, everyone would go home. I'd be in that hospital bed, lying there alone. The pain would start to come. And I remember just crying and crying out to God, God, why? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did that mechanic have to take one more swing with the sledge? Why did I have to turn back at that exact moment? Why, of all the places that little fragment could have flown, did it have to fly straight through my eye? Why? 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 24 years later, my eyes healed just enough that it's really, really sensitive to light, but I still don't have any useful vision out of it. And I still haven't got an answer to that why. And as I thought about that, I kind of thought, you know, would why, the answer to that question, really have helped me at all? You know, and I imagined laying there in that hospital bed and a friend coming in and me just saying, hey, you know, why did this happen? And there's a lot of things that friend could have said, you know. He might have said, you know what, we live in a fallen world and bad things just happen. There's sickness, there's disease, bad things happen just because of the fact that we live in this bad world. Would that have changed anything for me? Absolutely not. He could have said, you know what, sometimes other people make choices, and those choices other people make, we sometimes reap the results of those. And so, because that mechanic took that one last swing with the sledge, that's why you're injured. Would that have helped me? No. He could have said, Rod, you should have been wearing safety glasses. You know, sometimes we make stupid choices and we have to pay the consequences for that. Would that have helped me? Would that have changed my situation? Not at all. He could have said, you know what? Satan's out to steal, kill, and destroy your life, and this is just a spiritual attack, and you just need to seek God. And would that have helped me? No. And while all those things may be true, they wouldn't have done a bit of good for me in the situation I was in. And you may have even been guilty in life of trying to console somebody or counsel somebody, and everything that you're saying may have been absolutely true, but like those answers, completely useless. So if that's the kind of advice you give, let me just say stop it, because it doesn't help. But what I had to learn, and one of the things we learn here at Fox River, is it's not why that helps, but who. Why things happen isn't ever going to change the situation, but when I can focus on who it is that can help, when I can turn my eyes towards God, then He's able to start to work in my life and make changes in my life. See, that entire summer, I had a number of other surgeries. Rush St. Luke's is a teaching hospital, so day after day after day, I had numerous doctors and interns wanting to look at my eye, wanting to see my eye, using it to show some of the people they were teaching. And so there were constantly people prodding at my eye, shining the little blue light to check the pressure, shining those bright lights, and my eye was really, really sensitive to light. And one of the tests they did is a test that I'm sure you guys have all done before, but just humor me and why don't you do this with me. They would cover up my right eye. They'd say, put your hand over that. And so why don't you put your hand over your right eye? And they'd say, read this chart here on the wall. And so I'd read it. Let's read it together. KHOROZNHVCRKSCZHVD. Anyone go deeper? No? Awesome. Well, I'm going to stop there. And then they'd say, cover up your left eye. And so I'd cover up my left eye, and this is what I'd see. In fact, it probably wasn't even that good initially. And 24 years later, it's still not much better than that. And in those deep, dark times, as I lay there on that hospital bed and just wondered, God, why did this happen? Am I ever going to have a normal life again? What's my eye going to look like? Am I going to be able to work a normal job? Am I going to be able to play sports again? Am I going to be able to carry on the things I like to do in life? Is anyone ever going to love a one-eyed man? And all those things just racing through your mind as the what-ifs and the worries start to come in. The thing that helped me, and the thing I hope can help you, is my life first. And so if you have your Bible, just ask that you open to Romans 8:28. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you can find one nearby and open to page 1755. And this is a verse that I knew, but I really had to think about and process and take it to heart for it to impact my life in this situation. So Romans 8:28, let's read it together. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Read that with me one more time. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. See, the bottom line is that God is good, and He wants good for you. And I know you're at the end of your handout there and ready to flip it over. Don't flip it over yet, because I want to just talk about that for a moment. See, it's easy to read that verse and to say, God is good and He wants good for me. But it's an entirely different matter when you're going through that tough situation and when you're struggling with that. When you're in a place like I was in that hospital bed wondering, God, why did this happen? And what is the future going to look like for me? And you may be going through divorce or struggling with sickness or disease or in the midst of financial struggles or some other struggle in life, and you're just looking and saying, yeah, that may be good for some situations, but what about my situation? How can God work for good in this situation? And so I just want you to look at that verse on your sheet and just circle all things, just to be a reminder that in it's all things God wants to work. And then circle the word good, that God wants to work in all things for your good. If you've got something that you're struggling with today and you're just like, you know what, that's great, but I just don't see it. Trust me, I've been there. I understand that. I've asked those same questions. God, where is the good in this? In fact, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not impacted by the inability to see out of my right eye. Every time I go to park the car, I realize that I have no depth perception, and I've got to be really extra careful. Some of you I've had conversations with, and you may have thought, boy, he's not even paying attention to me because my eye maybe is wandering off to the side. And you may be thinking, man, that guy's a jerk. Imagine how I feel. I don't even know what's happening, and I just have to be self-conscious all the time, wondering what people are thinking about my eye, kind of wandering around and looking goofy. So I get that. It can be tough to believe in all things. So if you have something you're just struggling with, I encourage you just to write it on that line next to all things. Because here's the truth. God is good, and he wants good for us. Goodness is just his character. But the verse goes on and says, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And it's not that God chooses to work for our good when we love him. See, God's good all the time. But it's when we'll choose to love him and live our lives according to his plans that we can reap the benefits of the goodness that he wants for us. It's when we choose to go our own way, we often pull ourselves away from his desire to work good in our lives. See, when I was in the pit of despair on those dark nights crying out to God, I had to make the choice for myself. Am I going to trust that God is good and wants good for me? When I was in those dark times, I had to make that choice. Am I going to believe what his word says? Or am I going to choose to go my own way and pull myself out of his plan? I had to ask myself these two questions. Do I trust that God can work in my situation? And not only do I believe that, but am I willing to let him? Will I make the choice to love him and live my life for his purpose in spite of the thing that I was dealing with, in spite of the struggle that I was dealing with? And it's easy to know that verse. It's a lot harder to actually put your trust in it. But there's something else that kind of comes into play that fights against us as well. See, for me, when I deal with struggle and when I suffer, I have this natural default that without even thinking, when I go through something bad, I naturally just respond. And my guess is you guys have the same thing. And for some, it may be anger, that when you're dealing with something you don't like, you just get angry, and it just wells up inside of you. You maybe get angry at God. You may get angry at the people around you or just the situation. You may get angry at yourself. For some, it may be blaming. Somebody's hurt you, and you're never going to forgive them. And you're just going to blame them. Maybe you blame God. Maybe you blame yourself, and you've done things that you can never forgive yourself for. For some, it may be to try to figure out a solution and to analyze the situation. And if I can just be smart enough to come up with a way out of this problem. And so you go down that road of trying to solve everything on your own. Some of you, you may just isolate yourself and say, you know what, I don't want to be around anyone. I don't want to talk to family, friends, and so you just pull away from everyone that could help you. When you're going through a suffering, tough time, stress in your life, you just kind of separate yourself from God, from others, and try not to face your situation. Some people may just minimize it and say, that's no big deal. Distract yourself, get tied up in work or something to keep you busy, and are unwilling to face your problem, unwilling to face yourself, unwilling to face God. And so on that line, it says, my default. I want you just to think about what your default is. My default, my personal one, is I minimize and distract. As I was laying there in the hospital bed, my family and friends would come. Everything's great. I'm doing fine. Put on a smile. Try to find things to distract myself so that I didn't have to face the truth of dealing with what's going to happen with my life and thinking about that. And so that's my default. But whatever your default is, just write that on the line. And here's why it's important to know what your default is. Because that default, while those feelings are real and they're normal, and we're all going to feel emotions when we go through tough times, those defaults are going to lead you down a road that can pull you away from God's plan for your life. And knowing your default can help you in the middle of that when you start to well up with anger, or when you start to withdraw from other people, when you start to blame somebody, or when you start to distract or try to minimize the situation, to stop and catch yourself and to say, you know what, instead of doing this, I'm going to choose to make the choice to trust in God, that he is good and wants good for my life. And even though I don't understand what I'm going through, even though I don't like it at all, I'm going to say, God, I trust you. And I'm going to choose to follow you in this situation. I've found that when I go through struggles, if I can
make the choice to trust in God, that's when he can work in my life and help me to grow. Because we grow when we're challenged. When I'm out of my comfort zone, that's when I grow. And like you, I've gone through a lot of hard times in life. And it's not easy, so I'm not going to pretend that it is. It's really, really hard. The hardest thing you may ever have to do is in the midst of a tough time to say, you know what, I'm going to not focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the solution and put my trust in God. So going back to my story, as I was laying there on that hospital bed, wondering what the future was going to be like, wondering what the rest of my life was going to be like, there was a knock on the door. And this girl walked in. And it was a girl that I'd met in high school. Remember, I'd graduated. I didn't know her that very well. And I probably may never have seen her again because I was moving on to college and she was still 2 years behind me in school. But she had heard that I had had an injury. And she got on the phone and she called everyone she could think of to try to get a ride from the suburbs into Chicago just to come and say, hey, I heard about your injury. And I wanted you to know I'm thinking about you and wanted to encourage you. And she walks into the room, and she pulls out of her bag and sets down this little glass dish. And then she pulls out a water bottle, and she takes the water bottle on the nightstand there and just dumps it into the bowl, and out comes this little fish. Now, how many of you have ever been in the hospital and had somebody bring you a fish? Anyone? I'll just tell you, I was a little weirded out because I didn't know her that well. And while it was sweet, it was still just a little goofy. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is this even okay in a hospital to have a fish? I was waiting for like the intercom to come over with like code gold or something like that, like, and a team of nurses to come in and just surround the room. But she sat there and talked with me and just wanted to let me know, hey, I'm thinking about you. Anything I can do to help, let me know. And as she went to leave, she pulled out a piece of paper, took some scotch tape, and taped her phone number on the little booties that they give you in the hospital, you know, with the nonstick grips on there, and said, hey, just give me a call if you ever, you know, just need to talk and just going through a hard time. And that sweet young girl, fish girl, we can call her, we've now been together for 24 years. She's proof that a one-eyed man can be loved, and she shows me that every day. And I can tell you, through all the hard times I've gone through in life, that God is good, and he wants good for me because he has blessed me in so many ways. And he's blessed me with an incredible wife in Jody, and he's blessed me with four amazing kids. And I'll just tell you this, they were all born with two eyes, so no problems there. God's blessed me with some great just opportunities. I get to work for a college back in Illinois where I take students out in the outdoors on trips all out around the world. And I'm blessed to have an incredible church home where I can work and where I can spend some time with some amazing middle school students. But I could choose to focus on all the negative things in life. And like you, we could make lists of all those things pages and pages long. Or I can choose to focus on God and the good things that he's done in my life. And that's the choice that I make, to say, God, I'm going to trust in you in the middle of whatever situations I'm going through in life. If you're here today and you're right in the middle of one of those tough times, right in the middle of dealing with divorce or sickness, disease, loss, death in the family, financial struggles, and you just say, you know what, this is that tough time, then I have a hard time believing and trusting in God for his goodness. Let me just say two things. First of all, take my verse, Romans 8:28, and that's yours. Take that as your life verse. And even if you can't grasp and believe that right now, I challenge you just to read that every day and ask God, say, God, help me to see your goodness in this. Help me to trust in you in the middle of my problem. The second thing I'd ask you to do is this. Don't go through it alone. Don't go through it alone. We have people here at Fox River that would love to come alongside you and help you. whether it's divorce care or Celebrate Recovery, The Landing for Teens, Counseling Ministry, or a host of other programs and people that have gone through problems just like you and are saying, hey, we'd love to come alongside and help you. And so I encourage you to get involved in that. You may be here and you're thinking, you know what, my life's pretty good right now. Let me challenge you with that as well. Don't go through life alone. God may want to use you and the things you've got in your past to help somebody else that's going through those right now. You may need those relationships right now, not just to help you in today's day-to-day situations, but to have those relationships down the road for the next struggle you're going through. So don't be alone. Join a journey group or a life group. Join one of the men's or women's groups. Find some people that you can connect with, because God designed us to go through life together. See, as I continue to go and see the eye doctor, they still hold up those eye charts. And they say, cover your right eye, Rod. And I look up and I read those letters, K-H-O-R, and go down the line as far as I can. And then they say, cover your left eye, and I still can't see a whole lot. But I make the choice every day to say, God, help me to see your purpose in my life. And now I see this when I cover that left eye, that God is good, and he wants good for you. And so if you're going through a tough time today, I just ask you, raise your hand, and I just want to pray with you as I close. So if you just say, you know what, I'm struggling with something, just kind of wave at me. I just want to pray for you as we close. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Romans 8:28, that tells us that in all things you work for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. That you are good and you want good for us. And I pray for those here today that are right in the midst of a struggle, of a tough time, that you would help them to trust in you, that you would help them to see the blessings in their life, that you would give them the courage and the strength, not just to go through the situation they're dealing with, but to reach out to others that could support and encourage them to go through that together. God, I pray for those in this room that maybe would say, you know what, I've never even trusted in God for that first time to say, I believe that you are, and I desire to live my life for you. I pray that you'd help them to, as best as they know how, say, God, I want to put my trust in you. I want to believe that you want good for my life, and that just like John 3:16 says, that you love me enough to send your son to die for my sins. God, give them the courage today to just tell you that as well. God, and for all of us, that we would choose to live our lives in community, to not isolate ourselves when we go through problems, and to not just think when things are going well that we can just kind of go off on our own, but that we would choose to be a part of community of believers here at Fox River and in our homes and in journey groups and just throughout the different areas of life, that we would say, God, I'm not just going to believe that you're good, but I'm going to be a vessel to show your goodness to the world around me. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you that you are always good and you always want good for us. In Jesus' name, amen.